The following is paid commercial programming. Third-party rankings are no guarantee of future investment success. Working with a highly rated advisor does not ensure that a client or prospective client will experience a high level of performance. Investment performance is not an explicit criterion because clients' investment goals differ. These ratings should not be construed as an endorsement of the advisor by any client. Generally, rankings are based on information prepared and submitted by the advisor. Statements saying that we told our clients to be out of the market in 2008 refer to recommendations made by MMWKM's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC. The team that manages accounts at MMWKM are the same individuals with that responsibility at Eagle Strategies and at Cambridge Research from 2009 to 2011. MMWKM was created in 2011 and uses the same exit strategy. A more thorough disclosure of the criteria used in making these rankings is available by contacting MMWKM Advisors LLC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money.
We are in the money. The skies are sunny. And old man recession, you are through. You have done us wrong. Well, we'll see about that. But welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. We talk about the stock market. Of course, we'll talk about the economy, the virus, the reopening of the country, what the effects will that have on our investments. We're going to talk about our buy hold myth of the week this week. We'll talk about that. We have tons of information for you this week. But before we do anything, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And I am a senior retirement planner and founder of Retirement Planners of America. And we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. And we work currently with over 9,000 families in 48 states. And we are honored and privileged to do that. We take the responsibility of two things. One is we want our clients' money to last as long as you do, and we want you to have financial peace of mind. So everything is geared around those two mandates, if you will, and this show is that as well. So let me go over with you what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. So first of all, as you guys may know, we have a strategy that we call invest and protect. And what that means is, yes, we want to invest, and growth is important, and everybody wants to grow their money, and we do too. But we believe that protection of principal is even more important than that. Okay, and that's because we work with people who are within 5 years of retirement or are already retired. So if you're in that zone, then presumably at this point, you know, growth is great, you want that, but you want to preserve your money to give you the income that you want for the rest of your life. So it's a different mindset, it's a different paradigm, and that's where we come from. And so because of that, we have built our investment philosophy around protection of principal. And our strategy said to sell in early March. And so we sold all of our equities in early March. And we did that because we believe that things were going to get bad, and they did. But this is the same strategy that we said to sell in November of 2007 before the 2008 credit crisis and stay out for all of 2008. And in fact, it wasn't until June of 2009 that our buy signal came. And it's very important that you also have a buy strategy. You can't just, in our view, sell and then stay out forever. Yes, it's great, you know, if you have a strategy to sell, but you also have to have a strategy to buy, in our view. So the question you may ask is, well, is it time to buy? And so I want to go over with you our current thinking about that. Okay, so we'll talk about that in just a moment. Also, I want to share with you a story that I think illustrates why it is so important to protect against the downside. Okay, and this is a segment, this is a true story. It happened, I can't believe it, 20 years ago during the Y2K bear market. And I was actually speaking at a conference with about 2,000 people there, and I was up on the stage. I was one of the platform speakers. And a member of the audience came up to me after I gave my talk and told me his story, and his story resonates today. So I want to share with you that story, and the segment we'll call it "One Bear Market Can Change Your Life Forever." Now, also, I was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal last week, and also I was on television locally on Good Morning Texas. And one of the things that seems to be a recurring question I'm getting asked is with regard to if I lost my job, I got laid off, you know, because of the coronavirus, should I take Social Security early? You know, even though usually you recommend waiting till you're 66 or 70, should I take it early now in that? So I want to talk about Social Security and how it interplays with the realities of life right now, okay? Now, one of the criticisms, I guess you'd call it, of our philosophy of invest and protect is that if you sell and you get out and you sit in cash, you won't make any money. And therefore, that's a bad thing to do. And that, in my book, Buy, Hold, and Sell, is actually buy, hold myth number 5. And I want to share with you why I think that is not the way to look at it. Okay, so the myth is you won't make any money if you sell and sit in cash. And that's, I think, wrong. Wrong, moose lips, as Johnny Carson used to say. So most shows would stop right there. Most shows would say, you know, if we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show. But on this show, do we stop right there? No, we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before. And therefore, at about 10 till, we will have our estate tip of the week. And this week, what I want to talk with you about is you may have some youngins that potentially are experiencing financial difficulties with the way the economy is right now, and you may want to help them financially. And so if that's the case, then we need to talk about the gift tax rules for 2020. Okay, so how much can you give to a child or a grandchild to help them out economically without running into the gift taxes that need to be paid? Okay, so we'll talk about that at about 10 till in our estate tip of the week. Now, you know, one of the things that has occurred, I guess, with this work at home. And we're very fortunate at Retirement Planners of America at our firm because we're able to work from home. And so far, we have had no interruption in our ability to serve our clients. We've been able to continue. We actually planned for this without knowing this was going to happen. We had what we call a disaster recovery plan, which we rehearsed in all of our offices because, you know, our office in Houston, for example, was affected by the hurricanes. In California, we were affected by the fires that we had. In Oklahoma, we had the tornadoes. So we basically built out how can we have people work remotely and continue serving our clients. And so that disaster recovery plan, essentially, we just implemented it for the whole company all at once. And, you know, and actually we did it before we were told to by the government. We just saw it coming and said, you know what, we're going to send everybody home now and just get it going. And so anyway, the interesting thing about it is you know, we use Zoom. And one of the things is having reviews with clients on Zoom. And, you know, the rapid uptick in adoption of technology. And it's fun to talk with clients, you know, who are like, okay, which button do I click here so I can see myself? Or can you see me? Can I hear you? And then, you know, you've got dogs barking in the background. And it's like, okay, everybody mute and, you know, all that. And the screen goes dark. And it's kind of fun. We're all learning. But I think what's happening is it's accelerating the future. You know, for example, people don't want to use real money anymore. They don't want to touch paper money because it has the virus on it and they're scared of that. So it's accelerating, you know, these things like Apple Pay and all these other ways of electronic payments. Credit cards, people don't want to handle the credit card itself now. You know, you give it to somebody, they give it back to you and it's got the virus on it. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic. But one of the things that I've been doing with clients and even prospective clients, we're doing all of our appointments now are with prospective clients are over Zoom. And it's actually very conducive. It's great. But I always start and end every one of those conversations with stay healthy and stay sane, because those two are both important, right? So let's talk about, is it time to buy? As you guys know, we said sell, and we have been sold since early March. And of course, the market has had a dramatic recovery. As I record this, it's still not back to where we sold, but it certainly could get there. There's no question. And so is it a time to buy? Maybe we should buy. Well, one of the things that I think we can do, first of all, the stock market, the fact that it's had this kind of recovery, the stock market tends, the investors tend to look 6 months ahead. So this big recovery started towards the end of March and in early April. So therefore, what the stock market is saying, in my view, is that in October, this is all going to be behind us. It's all going to be a movie that we watched, and man, it scared the heck out of us, but now it's gone and everything's back to normal. And I have a hard time understanding why that is going to happen. How is it possible that we have this much disruption, and by September, we're going to flip a switch? There's going to be a vaccine. There's going to be everybody back to work. The economy is going to be going like it was before, and everything is normal again. I just don't see that. So let's look at China. China is presumably, if you believe them, past peak virus. They've got it under control, again, if you believe them. But if you look at their numbers that just came out, their recovery is not fast. The speed of the up is not going to, the speed of the down doesn't look like it's going to be matched by the speed of the up in the economy. It looks like the down is very fast, but the up coming back is going to be very slow. And in my view right now, what's happening is that the stock market is overestimating how fast we're going to have a vaccine and how fast we're going to recover from all of this. And that's why we've seen these big gains. As we get into April and into May and reality starts to set in, I think this rally is going to run out of steam, and it's going to have the same thing that happened in Y2K and in 2008 and during the Great Depression, where there was a massive rally because everybody thought, everything's done, and then realized, no, it isn't, and then it went way down after that. In 2008, the rally came in October of 2008, and you guys know the market didn't, the S&P didn't bottom out until March of 2009, so it took way after that. And the same thing happened in Y2K. So we haven't seen the full aftermath of what's going to happen here. We haven't. And we don't lock down our economy like the Chinese did. So therefore, I think that our recovery may even be slower than China's. The other thing is, we don't know what we don't know. And we could see Brazil or a sovereign default. And if that were to happen, then all bets are off. So right now, is it time to buy? Not yet. For our people, and our clients are retired or retiring soon. So for us, there's no harm in just waiting till the other side. There's no harm in delaying going in. We're not in a rush to take all the risk that buying now entails. So therefore, not yet. Now, if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, we have webinars for you. We actually have a live virtual seminar that you can watch from the comfort of your home. You can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners to help guide you through this. And if you want to avail yourself of that, go to our website. It's rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. And we'd love to help you if we can get through this, okay? So rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the story from Y2K, which I think will be very enlightening. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. We talk about the stock market. We talk about the bond market. We talk about Social Security, estate planning, your retirement income, you name it. We talk about it. And we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of this boring financial stuff. And so this week, we have a lot of boring stuff to talk about. So we're going to bore you to tears. So put your seatbelt on and be ready to take a nap. But anyway, we're going to talk now about something that is very important in our view. And let me tell you who I am, first of all. I'm Ken Morafe, and I'm the senior retirement planner and founder of Retirement Planners of America. And we're a firm that specializes in retirement planning. We work with over 9,000 families in 48 states. And we are so blessed and thankful to our clients for allowing us the privilege. And this show is designed for you if you're over 50, retired, retiring soon. We design all of our talk and everything we think about around that, okay? So because that's who we cater to, that's who we are interested in helping, the philosophy around how we manage money is different than if you were 20 years old or 30 or even 40 years old. And so one of the things that I want to talk with you about, and this is a story that it's a true story that happened to me back in 2000. And I was actually a speaker at an event called Managing Your Money. It was at a conference. And there were some 4,000 attendees at that conference. And I was one of the platform speakers. I got up there. And when I walked off stage, there's this man in his late 50s, and he walked up to me and he said, "Ken, I'm glad to meet you." He says, "I listen to your radio show every week." I said, "Oh, well, thank you." And, you know, I shook his hand. This was before the coronavirus, obviously. So he said, "Do you know how much money I had before the last bear market?" And, of course, this was 2002, so I kind of had a feeling that, you know, something was going on. This was after the tech bubble burst. And so I was, I had a feeling something wasn't right here. And I said, "No." I said, "How much do you have?" And he goes, "How much did you have?" And he says, "Well, I had $3 million. And I was like, "Wow, that's great." I said, "Congratulations." And he goes, "Yeah, but do you know how much money I have now?" And I said, "No, how much do you have?" And he says, "I have $650,000. And I was like, "Whoa." I remember looking at him and I couldn't believe he was standing there, let alone smiling. He was smiling. I said, but wait, tell me, to go from $3 million to $650,000, you had to go through $2.5 million, $2 million, $1.5 million. I mean, there were signposts along the way. Why didn't you get off the ride?" And he said, "Well, I had every intention to do that." He said, "I planned to get out if my investments ever dropped down to $2.5 million. That was where I said, if it gets to that, I'm out." And he said, but then when it got there, I thought to myself, "I'm down $500,000. I can't sell now. That would be ridiculous. And besides, everybody knows that the market will come back." And so I said, "Okay, so then what happened?" He says, "Well, so then I drew a line in the sand. If my investments got down to $2 million, I'd sell for sure. But when they sank to that point, I did the same thing again. I said to myself, 'Oh no, I'm down $1 million. I can't sell now. The market will come back. I don't want to be the fool who sells at the bottom.'" And so he said, "You know," and everybody was telling me that the market was going to bounce back. I didn't want to miss the rebound. And so he said, "You know, I never got out. I rode the market all the way down and I lost more than 70% of my money." And I wanted to say, you know, I almost wanted to give the guy a hug, you know, and I said, "I admire your ability to smile." And he said, "Well, you know, I could smile or I could cry. My nature is I choose to smile." So the point of that story is twofold. Now, somebody may be listening and saying, "Well, the market did come back from Y2K. Well, yeah, it took 7 years, but let's assume, I would imagine if he lost 90%, that money, or 70%, that money was in tech stocks. And a lot of those tech stocks did not come back. Many of them went out of business. You may remember pets.com and other things like that. So the assumption that the market will always come back, I think, is dangerous for somebody who's retired or retiring soon. The assumption that you don't want to be the fool that sells at the bottom, what that implies is that you don't have a plan. The problem that this gentleman had was he did not have a game plan to protect what he had. Okay, so our strategy does not protect against all losses. You know, in fact, the market went down from its peak to where we sold it in March. That's, you know, unfortunately, we haven't figured out how to perfectly time the top and perfectly time the bottom and all that. In fact, we don't even try to time it. We look at the trends. But the important thing is preservation of principle is how you live to play another day. You know, and right now, the analogy that I like to use is that, you know, they're saying quarantine yourself. Stay out of, you know, social distancing. Why are they saying that? Because they want a bridge to the other side when hopefully we have a vaccine and the virus has been brought under control. Well, that's the same thing with your money. Why would you not have the same philosophy with your money? Why would you not quarantine your money, protect it from potentially terrible downside, and then be caught in the loop that this man got caught in? You know, back in February when the market went down, the S&P went down, what, 35%? I'm sure a lot of you were wondering what you're going to do. I believe it's very possible we could go back and visit those lows again when we start to realize that the recovery is not going to be as fast as people are assuming. We're not going to flip a switch and everything's going to be back to normal again just like that. I just don't see that happening. And as we start seeing that unravel, I believe the market will go down from there. So what do you do? In my view, you should be thinking defensively now, not offensively. And I'm talking to those of you who are within 5 years of retirement or who are retired. Okay, if you're not in that group, then I'm not talking to you. If you want to be a gunslinger, you want to be a daredevil, you know, you want to be a bungee jumper with your money, go for it. But the audience that I'm talking to, it's about having enough money to live out the rest of your days to support the lifestyle that you want. And I'm going to talk later in the show about, you know, well, but if I sell now, Ken, I'm sitting there in cash, and what's cash paying? The Fed just dropped, you know, interest rates down to zero. I'm not going to make any money. And I'm going to talk about that in a couple of segments from now, where that, I think, should not be what you're concerned about, all right? That should be the least of your worries. What your worry should be is, what's the downside here, and can you afford to take that? And so we'll talk more about that. Now, I want to tell you that if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, that you can go to our website. It's rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. And when you're there, we have many, many resources for you. We have podcasts of this show, and each segment you can listen to separately if you wish. Also, we have videos. We have articles. You can sign up for my Market Alert video, which goes out at least weekly, sometimes more than that, given circumstances. You can also sign up to watch our webinar, attend our live virtual seminars that you can attend from the comfort of your home. And then also you can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners. Now, if you do that, we'll visit with you. We'll help you design your entire retirement plan at no charge or obligation. And if we can help you, fantastic. And if not, we'll tell you that too. Either way, no charge, no obligation, and we will part friends. Okay, so all that is available to you at rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to answer some Social Security questions like, I lost my job. Should I take Social Security? So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe, and I am senior retirement planner and founder of Retirement Planners of America, and we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So we work primarily with people who are within 5 years of retirement or who are retired already. And if that is you, then we've designed this show around the concerns that we think that you have, and our firm has designed itself around serving that person. And so our retirement planners have all gone through rigorous training and certifications with regard to Social Security, with regard to retirement planning, with regard to the taxes and implications with 401ks, all the things that we believe someone who is contemplating retirement or is there already would be interested in knowing or having guidance with. And all of those resources are available to you, to access to them via our website. So our website is rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. And we currently work with over 9,000 beautiful, wonderful families in 48 states. And we manage over $4.5 billion for those clients. And we are so thankful for that. We love our clients. We consider them to be the most beautiful thing in the world. We just love you guys so much. And if you're not a client, we'd love to meet with you and see if there's a fit for us. So again, our website is rpoa.com. Now, one of the most important conversations that we have with prospective clients and with clients is the conversation about Social Security. And, you know, Social Security is, in most of our clients' lives, one of the most important sources of income that they have. And so planning around that is very important. When to take it, how to take it, you know, and the Social Security website itself says that there are over 9,000 ways to take Social Security. 9,000. And obviously, if there are 9,000 ways, not all of them are the right one for you. So how do you navigate the maze of options? You know, if your spouse is older than you, if they're younger than you, if they make more money than you do, you know, if their health is different than yours, you know, all those things come into play and determine a different way of actually engaging with Social Security. And so navigating through all of that, I don't know how anybody does it if they haven't gone through training. And we've put our retirement planners through 6 weeks of training, and we have them take a test on an annualized basis to make sure that they are fully up to speed on all of that stuff to the extent that we can. So I was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal, and they asked a question, and it was basically with regard to Social Security. It says, you know, do you think that people who have been laid off or who have lost their jobs because of what's going on in the economy right now, should they take Social Security early or should they wait? And, you know, the answer to that question is that in most cases, it is better to wait to take Social Security till you're 66 or your normal retirement age, which I'll say is 66, and in many cases to wait till you're 70 if you can afford to do that. Now, you do have the option of starting Social Security at age 62. So the question would imply that you have somebody who is not 66 yet and has lost their job. And my answer is, if you need the money, then take it. You know, I mean, that's just the bottom line. If you need the money, take it. And that would apply whether the coronavirus was going on or not. That's always been our advice. If we have clients that need the money. Now, the math of Social Security is that over your life expectancy, so they have tables and they say this is how long we expect you to live, the total dollars that will be paid to you are the same regardless of when you start. Okay, so in other words, if you start at 62, they'll pay you a lower amount, but if you live to your life expectancy, the total dollars they paid you will be the same as if you started when you were 70, 8 years later, and they paid you the higher amount at age 70. Because again, they're going to your life expectancy. So at age 70, they're assuming they're going to pay you for 16 years. At age 62, they're assuming they're going to pay you for 24 years. So basically, it's the same total dollars. They just pay you a smaller or larger amount, depending on how many years there are left in your life that they anticipate. So it's not necessarily a big penalty if you take it at 62. But be aware that if you do take it at 62 and you go past a year, what will happen is it becomes permanent, okay? So you will not be able to change your mind after that. So be careful with that. So the answer is, if you need the money, take it, all right? That's you know, unfortunately, we can't dictate which cards we are dealt in life. We can only play the hand that we are dealt. And if that's the hand you were dealt, then you play that. Now, as I mentioned, we are a firm, Retirement Planners of America, and what we do is we work in the area of Social Security, we work in the area of Medicare, we work in the areas of 401k, rollovers, retirement planning, income during your retirement, estate planning. All those things are part and parcel of what we do. And we would love to visit with you and see if we can be of service to you. So if you go to our website, it's rpoa.com, and when you're there, we have virtual seminars that you can watch from the comfort of your home. They are live and interactive. We also have webinars. You can listen to the podcasts of this show. You can subscribe to my Market Alert email, which I send out at least weekly. It's a video. Also, you can visit with one of our retirement planners. We'll build an entire retirement cash flow plan for you at no charge or obligation. If we can help you, great. And if not, that's fine too. We'll part friends either way. So all of that is at rpoa.com. Let it, you know, as Tom Cruise said, help me to help you. Okay? So rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about buy hold myth number 5, which is you won't make any money if you sell and sit in cash. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And I am senior retirement planner and also founder of Retirement Planners of America. And we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. We work primarily with people who are over 50, who are within 5 years of retirement, or who are already retired. So if that's you, this show is designed for you, and our firm is designed to help you achieve your goals. And we have two goals as we perceive them for our clients. We want your money to last as long as you do. We want to support the lifestyle that you want for the rest of your life, and maybe even have a few shekels left over for the greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs of yours. And secondly, we want you to have financial peace of mind. We don't want you to worry about it, okay? We want to worry about it for you so that you don't have to. And so we have a strategy that we call Invest and Protect, and it is designed to make, you know, no strategy can guarantee no losses that we know of anyway. And so therefore, what we want to do is we want to make, when we do lose money, for that to be a very tolerable amount. In other words, when we do lose money, we want to make we want it to be not so much that it changes your life. But at the same time, we want to participate as much on the upside as possible. So our strategy is designed for a tolerable downside and an unlimited upside. And so in November of 2007, our strategy said to sell. And so before the great financial crisis, we got out of equities. We sold our equities. We told our clients to do so. And everybody listened to this show, for that matter. And then we stayed out. And you have to have a buy strategy, in our view, as well. You can't just sell and then stay out forever. So you have to have a buy strategy. And our buy strategy said to buy in June of 2009. So that was actually a year and a half almost where we were out. Now, again, our strategy is not perfect. In 2010 and 11, and again in 2018, we had times where the market looked very scary and was going down dramatically, and we took evasive action to protect our clients from what could have been further downside. And so, and in fact, it did go down further. In all three of those instances, it bounced back from that. And so, in our view, it's better to be safe than sorry. Now, earlier this year, in early March, we saw the risk of this coronavirus to the economy and to the stock market and to our investments and the security of our clients. And so, therefore, for the same reason, our strategy said to sell, and so we did so. And as I record this, the market, even after this big rally, is still below where it was where we sold. And we'll see. We believe that this rally is fool's gold. Sometimes they call it catching falling knives. We don't really know what the aftermath of all of this hard stop on the economy is. I mean, the market, in our view, is pricing in, you know, a perfect recovery, a vaccine, and everything goes back to normal by September, because that's what's, you know, generally speaking, the market looks 6 months ahead. So September, October, all of this is behind us. Everybody's back to normal, and everything is fine. We'll see. So right now, we're not ready to say it's time to buy. Now, I wrote a book called Buy, Hold, and Sell, and I'm looking at the cover of it, and it says, from the financial advisor who called the 2008 stock market crash. Ooh, wow, that's me. And it says, the investment strategy that could save you from the next market crash. And so if this one turns out to be the big market crash that we think it will be, then that'll be the case, won't it? Now, one of the things that we talk about in the book are what I call the buy hold myths, which are the reasons people tell you that you should never sell under any circumstances. You should stay in and ride the thing out no matter what happens. And my view on that is, and one of the reasons they give, buy hold myth number five, is you won't make any money if you sell and you sit in cash. Now, in 2008, when we sat in cash for that entire year, interest rates dropped to around zero, and so we didn't make any money that year, sitting in cash. But, you know, as Benjamin Franklin once said, a penny saved is a penny earned. So during the time that we were essentially making zero, and the market, the S&P, had dropped 57% from peak to trough, we believe that if you didn't lose 57%, then you made 57%, okay? A penny saved is a penny earned. So I guess you could look at it however you wish, but in our view, it is protection of principle. And the notion that you won't make any money if you sell and sit in cash, we think, is a flawed idea of why you should stay in and lose money. And here's the math of it. Our general prescription for clients is that we don't want them to take more than 4% of their money out each year. Now, as you get older, you can take more out because as you're older, your life expectancy is shorter, so you can take out a larger amount and have less of a risk of running out of money. But generally speaking, let's use the rule of 4%. So if you have $100 and you take 4% out, which is $4, how many times can you take $4 out of your $100 until you've used it all up? Well, the answer is 25 times. So if you're taking 4% out and you have $100, then that means that your money will last you for 25 years before you run out. So the notion that, you know, if you sell and you sit in cash and you make zero, that that's a bad thing. Well, obviously, we want to make money, but for the moment, let's assume we're making zero. You could do that and take 4%, and your money will last you 25 years. And so, you know, at this point, if you're 60, then you're 85 before you run out of money. So that's not really a terrible thing in our view. But also, it assumes that you're going to stay out for 25 years. I think that's an unlikely event. Somewhere in that 25 years, hopefully things will turn back around and we'll get back in, just like we did in June of 2009 after being out for almost a year and a half. Okay, so you get back in, and if you do, yeah, you may not get the full up, but that's not as important in our view as getting the as avoiding the full down. Okay, so the myth is you won't make any money if you sell and sit in cash. You know, and these are unusual times also. Because, you know, interest rates being near zero as they have been now and they were back in 2008, that's not a normal occurrence. And we believe that with all the debt that is coming, it is possible that we could see interest rates go up pretty high. Some of you may remember the early 80s when we had interest rates at 16% in CDs and money market funds because inflation was so high. So that could come back, folks. Don't underestimate that. So, all of that says, therefore, that we believe that being in cash is not the worst thing in the world. And sometimes cash is king, and we believe now is one of those times. Now, if you are over 50, if you are retired or you are retiring soon, we would love to meet you and see if we can help you. We have tons of resources on our website. It's rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. When you're there, you can watch videos. You can attend live virtual seminars from the comfort of your home. You can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners and go through an entire financial plan. And again, we also do that from the comfort of your home. We do it virtually. We won't come to your home. No, we'll do it on the internet. But that would be weird. But we can help you build a plan, no charge, no obligation. And if we can help you, great. That's but if not, we'll part friends. So rpoa.com is our website. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the gift tax rules for 2020 in case you want to help out somebody that is in need right now. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe, and this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning, and we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all this boring financial stuff. And I am Ken Morafe, the host. I am senior retirement planner and founder of Retirement Planners of America. And we're a firm that as the name implies, specializes in retirement planning. We work with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, we'd love to meet you and see if we can help you. And of course, this show is designed for you as well. And we currently work with over 9,000 beautiful, wonderful families in 48 states. And we manage over $4.5 billion for those wonderful and beautiful families. And we are very happy. We are thankful that we have been given that privilege. Now, this is the part of the show where we talk about estate planning. We talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. Now, this week, we're going to talk about the deserving heirs of yours that maybe are experiencing some financial difficulty and you want to help them out. And, you know, given what's going on in the economy right now. And if that's the case, I wanted to go over with you the gift tax rules for this year, because believe it or not, there are certain amounts that you can give to other people to help them out, but if you exceed that, then it creates a tax. And so we want you to know the rules on that so that you don't run awry of the rules. Okay, so but before we do that, Faye, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And you know, the estate taxes and probate and all that kind of stuff, it's actually designed to do the exact opposite. It's designed to take you from riches to rags, and we do not want that to happen to you. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. So this week, we're going to talk about the gift tax rules. So basically, to understand why we have these rules is because, pardon me, we have estate taxes, all right? So estate taxes are taxes that are paid upon death, all right? So somebody dies and they owe tax on their estate. So if you're a smart person, you think to yourself, well, I don't want to own anything when I die. I want to give it all away. And that way, when I die, I own nothing. And therefore, I've escaped the estate tax. Well, the government is not stupid. I mean, there are a lot of things, but I don't think they're that. And so what they have said is, okay, fine, if you want to give it all away, well, guess what? We're going to tax it anyway. So that way you can't do that. Well, the problem with that, though, is that in our normal course of life, we give people birthday presents and Christmas presents. We take friends out to eat. You know, we give money to our kids. So all kinds of things like that happen, and those are called gifts. And what they also realized is that if every gift you make is subject to a tax, then what would happen is you'd have a revolution on your hand because people would not appreciate that. And politicians don't like when that happens. And so they designed exemptions to the gift tax rules, meaning that only gifts that exceed certain amounts are going to be subject to the gift tax. All right. So the first thing I want to tell you about that is that the gift tax is paid by the person making the gift. All right. So the people that inherit from you, the people that you give money to, they never owe any tax. It's your estate. It's you that pays the tax. They receive the after tax. Okay. So the limits this year in 2020 are $15,000 per person. So that means that you can give $15,000 to as many people as you wish. Literally, you can give every dollar you've got away to everybody that you want in increments of $15,000, and there will be no gift tax paid by you because you're the one making the gift. Now, if you're married, as a couple, you can combine your gifts and you can give $30,000 per year, up to $30,000, without having to pay a gift tax or file a gift tax return. So if you're married and you have kids, you can give them money to help them out in that regard. Now, the other thing that there is what's called the lifetime exemption. And the lifetime exemption under the tax law that was passed by President Trump and the Congress increased the lifetime exemption of total gifts that you can give over and above the $15,000 to $11.5 million. So what it means is that let's say you have one child and you want to get you can give them $15,000 without having to file a gift tax return, but let's say you give them $100,000, just as an example. So you went $85,000 over that $15,000 limit. So now you do have to file a tax return, a gift tax return. And you're going to say, that $85,000, I'm going to draw from the bank account of gifts I have over here, the lifetime exemption of $11.5 million. So until you've given away $11.5 million over the $15,000 a year, you will actually still not have to pay any gift tax. So essentially, for just about everybody that I can think of, there are no taxes on making gifts to anybody, as long, but you do have to file a tax return, okay? So a little primer on the rules to keep you from having to pay taxes or file tax returns needlessly. So now, as I mentioned, we are Retirement Planners of America. We're a firm that specializes in retirement planning. And so we look at income tax planning. We look at insurance planning. We look at estate planning. We look to manage your money for you. We look at Social Security planning. All those kind of things are part and parcel of the services that we provide. And we'd love to do that for you if there's a good fit for us. So if you go to our website, it's rpoa.com. You can watch videos. You can listen to podcasts. You can attend our virtual seminars from the comfort of your home. You can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners. We have all of that available to help you as much as we can. And no time better than now, given what's going on. So rpoa.com is our website. You know what? This show is over already. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.